ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Staying with Donald Trump and the scandal that just refuses to go away.
Tonight, lawmakers in the House have released Jeffrey Epstein emails, including emails referencing Donald Trump.
Reams, thousands of pages worth, released this morning by Democrats on that panel, several mentioning President Trump by name.
Emails from Epstein raise serious concerns about how much Donald Trump knew about his behavior.
Epstein writing the, quote, dog that hasn't barked is Trump, adding one of his victims spent hours with Trump at Epstein's home.
The White House denies any wrongdoing by the president, but the administration still refuses to release the full FBI files on Epstein. And now this morning on Capitol Hill, an effort to force their release is finally moving forward.
Yes, this week saw the release of more than 20,000 pages of emails and texts to and from Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender who died by suicide in 2019. Epstein was a one-time friend of Donald Trump's, and in one text in 2018 claimed he was the one able to take him down. In another email, Epstein said that Virginia Giuffre, one of his trafficking victims, spent hours at my house with him, referring to Donald Trump. Miss Giuffre, who died by suicide in Australia early this year, said in a 2016 deposition that Mr. Trump never had sex with her or even flirted with her. The White House said the emails were selectively leaked by House Democrats to the liberal media to create a fake narrative to smear President Trump. Let's talk to Tara Settmire, a former Republican Party communications director and now a resident scholar at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Tara, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tara, this document dump this week, it started with a few documents released by the Democrats, then a mass of documents released by the Republicans. Talk us through how this unfolded.
Well, I think everyone is well aware that the Epstein saga has plagued Donald Trump for several months now, and mainly because he promised during the campaign that this was something that he would be transparent about and that they would release the files. Some of the people who are in his cabinet now and who work for him now, like Kash Patel and Dan Bongino over at the FBI, made podcasting careers out of demanding transparency and release on the Epstein files. And when that didn't happen, it seemed that that can had been kicked down the road. People began to get a bit more frustrated with it. And then we saw the Twitter fight between Elon Musk and Donald Trump earlier in the summer, where Elon Musk dropped the bomb about Trump being in the Epstein files. And that's really what got the ball rolling here in Congress and the demands by the public, particularly Trump's own base, that they release the Epstein files. Now, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has been avoiding this issue for quite some time because clearly it's politically perilous for the president, and kept the Congress out of session for several weeks, refused to swear in a newly elected member of Congress because she would have represented what's the final vote of what's called a discharge petition, which you need 218 votes to force a vote on something onto the floor. And now that the Congress is back in session, they have no choice. The Speaker of the House really has no choice now but to put this vote on releasing the Epstein files to the House floor. And while this was going on, the House Oversight Committee was beginning to do more work, and they started to subpoena the Epstein estate to get some of this information because the Department of Justice was slow walking releasing the files. And that's what the document dump was this week.
Now, the Democrats released the most newsworthy emails, and the email that was instantly seized upon was between Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a prison sentence for sex trafficking. In one email on April the 2nd, 2011, Epstein contacted Maxwell. I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him. We know that's Virginia Giuffre, who, again, we should point out, has never implicated Trump in any wrongdoing. And another 2019 email, Epstein appears to reflect on Trump asking Ghislaine Maxwell to stop recruiting employees from Mar-a-Lago. In the email, Epstein says of Trump, of course he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop. I mean, what do you make of these emails? How explosive are they?
I mean, I would say that they're pretty damning. because Donald Trump has changed his story several times about his relationship with Epstein, with his knowledge of what Epstein was doing, whether he did or didn't know. And but the record shows otherwise. I mean, it was pretty well known that they were best friends for several years, in particularly in the New York and Palm Beach scenes. There's video evidence of it. There's Donald Trump with the birthday card, for Epstein's 50th birthday. I mean, it was pretty well known that they were close friends. And then the timeline of when Donald Trump allegedly kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club doesn't seem to add up either. Again, it's some inconsistencies with his story. So these emails contemporaneously are pretty damning because they no one thought at the time that they would ever go public, right? That's the assumption. And so we look back in hindsight now and trying to put the timeline together of who knew what and when. It's been very difficult for Donald Trump to explain away some of these references to him based on those different stories he's told, which would explain why his reaction to this has been so erratic. And now he's going after his own party, calling them names for demanding transparency, and then now calling it a Democratic hoax and demanding that his Democratic opponents be investigated. Well, how can it be a hoax if it's a hoax, then why is there an investigation? Like, there's just a lot of nonsensical things here. So if you're innocent and everything is above board, why this reaction?
Yeah, I mean, some of the most interesting emails are from Michael Wolff. He's a well-known author and journalist who was advising Jeffrey Epstein. In an email from October 2016, days before the US presidential election, Wolff offers Epstein a chance to sit for an interview, which he says could finish Trump. There's an opportunity to come forward this week and talk about Trump in a way that could garner you great sympathy and help finish him. Interested? Wolff asks Epstein. I mean, this just won't go away. And a classic Trump response to it is to go from the defensive onto the offensive. Tell us how he has instructed the Justice Department to look into Bill Clinton's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and the U.S. bank, J.P. Morgan's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, this is classic Donald Trump. I mean, he learned this from his mentor, Roy Cohn, who is a mafia lawyer and fixer, and his mentor, who taught him to never apologize, never admit wrongdoing, and go on offense, and flip it around. And that's what he does. I mean, it's predictable. You can almost set your clock by it. And Trump, I think this tactic is wearing thin because it's so obvious what he's trying to do here in this particular instance, that I think it's going to backfire on him. And the fact that he's instructing the Department of Justice to now investigate his political opponents and to try to say that, well, there's nothing to see here, go look over there. That level of deflection, it's like every accusation is a confession with this guy. And this is another perfect example of weaponizing the United States justice system and using his hand-picked henchmen to basically abuse and weaponize the Department of Justice. What he accused his opponent of doing, which Joe Biden and his administration absolutely did not do. So, they can do this. This is, unfortunately, they are in power. And unless the Republicans who are in charge in the House stand up and say no and demand that Donald Trump stop this, there's really not much the American people can do to stop him from doing this other than to put political pressure on the people in charge and say that this is not acceptable and it's not okay.
This is a fascinating moment because Donald Trump has absolute control over the Justice Department in a way that U.S. presidents have not had before. There's often a firewall between the White House and the Justice Department. There was in Trump 1.0. Jeff Sessions, who was then the Attorney General, actually appointed a special prosecutor to look into the allegations of collusion with the Russians during the 2016 campaign. Now he has got an absolute loyalist, Pam Bondi, at this Justice Department. But there is this question of whether the Republicans on Capitol Hill are totally loyal, whether he can actually win this vote next week about whether to release more documents. What's your sense of that?
Well, I think that he is concerned about whether the Republicans are going to stay lockstep with him on this issue because, this is a horrific evil cabal that has victimized, you know, over 1,000 young girls and women. And they're putting he's asking Republicans to run cover for potentially an international sex trafficking cabal that he may or may not be adjacent to. That is not a great political choice for Republicans, which is why you're seeing so many of them defect in the House. Potentially 100 may actually vote in favor of releasing the files. Wow. In the House. And in the Senate, Senator Thune, who is the majority leader, is going to have to weigh whether they want to run cover for this or whether they want to err on the side of transparency, which is what the American people are demanding. So this is going to be quite the loyalty test next week. And I think Donald Trump is going to put more and more pressure on Republicans to make that choice. And it's a politically perilous one for them.
Well, let's talk about how perilous it is. The Epstein scandal has already brought about the downfall of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, who was formerly known, of course, as Prince Andrew. It's brought down a British ambassador in Washington, Lord Peter Mandelson, because of his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. How big a threat does this pose to Donald Trump?
Well, I think this is the biggest threat to his presidency yet. And we've seen a lot of things that in normal political times would have taken down, lesser men. And he has seemed to endure them. But this issue here is the one that he cannot seem to escape from thus far. So it remains to be seen. It seems on the surface that it is a pretty big deal. There are a lot of names here that could be exposed, which could potentially be why this has been an issue that has dragged on for years and years and years. A lot of powerful names. So I think the jury is still out on who else can be taken down by this. But I think that the American people don't care whether they're Republican or Democrat. They just want to see justice for the survivors. And I think we need to not lose sight of that and the bravery of the women who have come forward, the ones who are still with us. Some have lost their lives from the trauma of this, Virginia Giuffre being one of them. And I think that we need to stay focused on who really this is about. And it's about justice for those survivors and making sure that rich and powerful people don't get away with this.
Hmm. Tara Satmar, a resident scholar at the University of Virginia, formerly a Republican Party, a communications specialist. Thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.